Welcoming all of you to the Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Nanda Dulal Prabhuji. Prabhuji is going to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 5th chapter, 33rd and 34th verse. I'll hand out the call to Praveen Govind Prabhuji for give brief introduction of Nanda Dulal Prabhuji. Prabhuji, are you on the call, Prabhu? Praveen Prabhu?
Yes, Mataji.
Yeah,
Hare Krishna. My Dhanvat pranams to all the devotees on the call. Nandlal Prabhu is a disciple of His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, and he came in Krishna consciousness when he was studying B.Tech. He completed his engineering in the year 2000, and after that he was working for 5 years in Tech Mahindra. And while working, he was rendering many services in temple. In 2005, he joined ISKCON as a full-time devotee. And ever since, he has been contributing in so many various ways and activities for ISKCON Chopati Temple. Currently, he is responsible for ISKCON Youth Services, IYS programs at the KEM, which is the topmost college of Maharashtra and all India. Apart from that, he is also managing a satellite center at Baramati and taking care of the congregational program at Shivaji Park, Mumbai. Apart from all his preaching activities in the temple, he is also the COM body, which is the top management body of ISKCON Chopati. Also, he is taking care of educational department that includes VTA training, which is known as Vaishnava Training Academy, and the BACE, which is broadly called as Bhaktivedanta Academy of Cultural and Educational Center. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Dandavats pranam all goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now I'll hand out the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I'm grateful to all of you for giving me a chance to speak on the Bhagavatam, just sharing something which I have heard, which I have read, which I've learned from all Vaishnavas that have given their mercy to me. So, Bhattaji, this is, fifth canto, chapter 5, shloka number 33 and 34. So, will you be displaying these shlokas on the screen or how do we do?
Yes, Prabhuji, if you would like to do also, you can do, Prabhu, or if you want us to do, I can do it, Prabhu.
Yeah, I'll be happy if you can display it on the screen so that others
sure,
can
Prabhu,
also do
it. I can do it for you. I will do it.
Yeah, so Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. This is Canto 5, Chapter 5, Shloka number 33 on the screen. It's not in poetry form, so we'll just read it. Tasyaha yaha Purisha Suravi Saugandhya Vayustam Desham Dasha Yojanam Samantad Suravim Chakar. Translation, because Lord Rishabhdev remained in that condition, the public did not disturb him, but no bad aroma emanated from his stool and urine. Quite the contrary, his stool and urine were so aromatic that they filled 80 miles of the countryside with a pleasant fragrance. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. From this, we can certainly assume that Lord Rishabhdev was transcendentally blissful. His stool and urine were so completely different from material stool and urine that they were aromatic. Even in the material world, cow dung is accepted as purified and antiseptic. A person can keep stacks of cow dung in one place and it will not create a bad odor to disturb anyone. We can take it for granted that in the spiritual world, stool and urine are also pleasantly scented. Indeed, the entire atmosphere became very pleasant due to Lord Rishabhdev's stool and urine. Text number 34. Evam gom riga kaka chariyaya vrajam stishthan asinah shayanah kaka mriga go charitah pibati khadati avamehati sma. Translation: in this way, Lord Rishabdev followed the behavior of cows, deer, and crows. Sometimes he moved or walked, and sometimes he sat down in one place. Sometimes he lay down, behaving exactly like cows, deer, and crows. In that way, he ate, drank, passed stool and urine, and cheated the people in this way. Purport: being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Rishabdev possessed a transcendental spiritual body. Since the general public could not appreciate his behavior and mystic yoga practice, they began to disturb him. To cheat them, he behaved like crows, cows, and deer. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shrivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So sometime back when I was reading the Bhagavatam, it mentioned how different incarnations, they appear in this world for different purposes. So Lord Parshuram, Lord Kalki, they appear, Lord Narasimha, they appear in this world and they primarily display the power aspect of the Lord. Lord Balaram, Mohini, they appear, Vamandev, they appear in this world and they primarily display the beauty of the Lord. Lord Ramachandra, Prithu Maharaj, they appear in this world to display the fame aspect of the Supreme Lord. There are others like Lord Dattatreya or Lord Matsya. There is some sound coming of somebody walking. Can anybody check and mute? Lord Dattatreya and Lord Matsya, they come and they display the knowledge aspect of the Lord. And Rishabdev, the incarnation that we are discussing about, I was remembering another category of the Lord that, you know, okay, we'll come to this category. Lord Rishabdev, Nar Narayan Rishi, and Kurmadev, they appear in this world primarily to display the detachment of the Lord. And as we know, the Supreme Lord, Lord Krishna, who is the source of all incarnations, the fountainhead of all incarnations, he has knowledge, he has beauty, he has power, he has fame, he has detachment and everything. But Rishabdev, about whom we are discussing right now, comes in this world to display the detachment aspect of the Lord. And it's very important for us to understand this aspect of the Lord from him. In our lives, in ordinary people's lives, when the Supreme Lord, in ordinary people's lives, when things don't go as per our wish, when somebody insults us, when somebody criticizes us, things don't go our way, what are the typical responses that ordinary people do? Sometimes it is anger. So if you look at Dhruv Maharaj's story, when Dhruv Maharaj, before he met Narad Muni, before he received the mercy of the Supreme Lord, he is not allowed to sit on his father's lap, which is rightfully his. And then what happens? The Bhagavatam describes, when he went from that place to his mother's place, he was hissing like an angry snake. He was so angry. So anger is something that is typically the first response. Sometimes if you can't even show anger, then it is frustration. Why is this thing happening to me? So one time this one famous actor, you know, he and his friends were at some celebration. And this film actor, he told his friend, I'm so angry with this photographer. I'm just so angry with him, frustrated with him. And his friend looked at that photographer and said, well, he's hardly even looking at you. So the film actor said, yes, that is why I'm frustrated with him. Because he's not even looking at me. He's supposed to click my pictures and he's supposed to respect me for the fame that I have. So sometimes people get angry, sometimes people get frustrated. Sometimes we also have a tendency to take revenge. If people don't get respected properly, then sometimes they want to take revenge. So if you look at the beginning of the Bhagavatam, then we can see how just because this sage, Sringi, Shamik Rishi did not apparently get respect from Parikshit Maharaj, this small little 7-year-old boy, Sringi, he became so angry and he was so frustrated with that whole situation that he dared to curse the emperor of the whole world. And what kind of an emperor was he? He was not an ordinary emperor. Here is one person who could look into the eyes of Kali personified. Today, all of us are suffering heavily because of a small, tiny fraction of Kali's power. And imagine this king threatening Kali. Get lost from my kingdom. And Kali had to fall down at Parikshit Maharaj's feet to take shelter. So this Parikshit Maharaj, who could dare to threaten Kali, and all of us are victims of Kali, that great king, for a small little fault which was perceived by this small little boy, he dared to take revenge against Parikshit Maharaj, and without thinking of the consequences on the whole planet, just for his own small little hurt, he cursed in revenge mode Parikshit Maharaj. And sometimes when anger is not possible, frustration is not possible, a feeling of revenge is not possible, what do? People just have utter disregard for people. If he is criticizing me and I can't do anything about it, I just disregard, I just close my eyes, I don't have anything to do with anyone. And people become loners. One devotee was sharing how when we wash clothes in a washing machine, then typically the washing machine will have two directions of motion. It will wash in both directions. Similarly, if the Supreme Lord wants to wash us of all our anarthas, then he puts us into the washing machine of the material world. And happiness and distress are the two directions in which we will be moved by this washing machine. And then the washing machine also needs some detergent. So what is the detergent? The detergent is the association of Vaishnavas. That sometimes we have anger, sometimes we have frustration, sometimes we also get infected with this tendency to take revenge, and sometimes when we are helpless, we just don't even want to talk to anybody. And the whole disease can be cleaned by association of devotees. So in the material world, when we are constantly going through happiness and distress, we are very fortunate if we have association of devotees, and that is how we'll get cleaned. What about Lord Rishabhdev? Here we are reading, yesterday also you must have read how Lord Rishabhdev was so much in this mood of being neglected by people, and earlier description was that how Lord Rishabhdev, sometimes people urinated, sometimes people passed foul air, and sometimes they disrespected him in different ways. I am also remembering Shukdev Goswami. When Shukdev Goswami, the great Mahabhagavat, who in the womb of his mother was already at the Brahman platform and who did not want to come out of his mother's womb because he had a fear of getting affected by Maya in this world. This person, when he's out of his mother's womb and when he's walking on the planet, he's walking without clothes. And when he's walking without clothes, there is a situation where there are some young girls bathing in the pond. And Shukdev Goswami is also 17-year-old young boy. But just looking at Shukdev, they understood, here is a person not on the bodily platform. He's not in the bodily concept of life. So he does not identify himself as a male. And so they did not cover their bodies. And just a little distance behind him is Vyasa Rishi, who's calling out to Shukdev, 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 please come back. And Vyas is old in age. He has a beard. He's grown up. He's a Rishi. But when this old person, senior in age, passed by, then these young girls covered their bodies with their own hands because they felt that Shukdev is beyond the bodily platform, but Vyasa Rishi, because he's a householder, he's definitely in the bodily platform. So this Shukdev, who's beyond the bodily platform, but what was the situation when he reached this spot where Parikshit was waiting for him? Actually, he was being followed by some women and some small children from the neighboring villages. And some of them were making fun of him. Some of them were throwing stones at him. And they did not recognize Shukdev Goswami. It is only when Shukdev Goswami reached the banks of Ganges and all the assembled sadhus, including Vyasa Rishi, his father, including his grand spiritual master, grandfather spiritual master, Narad Muni, you know, when they are there and everyone rose, then they could understand, I think we made a wrong judgment about this person who's without clothes. They were thinking Shukdev Goswami is some kind of a mad person or something, crazy person or something. So this is very normal in the world that people don't understand you properly, people don't recognize you properly, and sometimes they repent, sometimes they don't repent, sometimes they are very happy about it. But Rishabhdev, when he's undergoing this treatment, what is his response? Does Rishabhdev become angry? Does Rishabhdev become frustrated? Does Rishabhdev have a revenge tendency? Does Rishabhdev totally neglect these people? No. When the Supreme Lord, who's very much concerned about his children, when he gets a treatment like this, he does not have any of those anarthas in his heart. The result is he becomes very contemplative. He starts thinking, what can I do to solve this situation? Here I am, and there are these people giving me something else on me. So what can I do to help them? I'm reminded at this point about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in this world. Chirad adattam nijagupta vittam. It is mentioned in the early part of Sri Chaitanya Charitam. Chirad adattam. For a long, long time, something that was not given. Adattam nijagupta vittam. His own secret treasure. Lord Krishna's secret treasure. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to distribute it. But at one point of time, when he is the teacher of some Brahmana kids, and one day he is in his mood of remembering the exalted position of the gopis of Vrindavan. So he is chanting the names of the gopis. And he is chanting, Gopi, Gopi, Gopi. One little boy who is proud of his knowledge comes to him and says, my dear Nimai Pandit, we are not supposed to chant the names of gopis because gopis are ordinary jivatmas. Actually, as Brahmana, don't you know that we are supposed to chant the names of Hari, the Supreme Lord? And why are you doing this? And Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so much disturbed by this thought. Actually, he took a stick and ran behind this boy, totally disturbed by this situation that how can this boy ever understand the position of the gopis to whom the Supreme Lord Krishna, the possessor of all opulences, says that, Na parayeham, oh my dear gopis, I cannot repay you in an entire lifetime of Brahma, the kind of love that you have shown for me. So the person who possesses everything says, I cannot repay you. That is the position of the gopis, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is meditating at this person, dares to instruct him. Not only that, this small Brahman boy goes outside and catches hold of all his friends and says, you know what happened today? This Brahman boy, Nimai Pandit, he dared to hit me with a stick. And did I go wrong? Is it mentioned in any of the scriptures that we should chant the names of the gopis? You tell me. And all the boys, they said, yes, yes, you are right. Actually, the scriptures mention that we should chant the holy names of Lord Hari, Lord Krishna. So that is what I told him. And just look at his arrogance. He came behind me with a stick. Who does he think he is? His father is the great Jagannath Mishra, the great exalted Brahman. But we are also no less. our fathers are also great brahmanas. We also come from exalted families. Does he think he is the king that he can punish me? He's not a king. He's not a kshatriya. He's a brahman. And we are also brahmanas. And we are also no less. And when this kind of conversation ensued, then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood that actually he had come in this world to give medicine for arrogance. He had come in this world to give a medicine for all the anarthas, but the people in general had misunderstood him and they had misunderstood the medicine that he was trying to give. So it is mentioned that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after this incident, one time was sitting with all his devotees and suddenly he spoke something that not many understood and people were confused. And he said, Karila pipali khanda kafa nivari te ulatiya ara khanda badhete dehete. He said, in Ayurveda, there is a medicine called pipali khanda. And this pipali khanda medicine is made when there is too much mucus in the body. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I came into this world with this pipali khanda medicine to destroy the mucus. But ulatiya ara kafa badila dehete. He said, but instead what has happened is the cough has increased much more. And not many people could understand. I don't know what he's talking about, cough and pipali khanda. And we never knew that Nimai Pandit is also a Vaidya. He knows Ayurveda. Only one person understood. That is Lord Nityanand. Lord Nityanand decoded it and Lord Nityanand spoke. He understood it. Very soon the Lord is going to take sannyas. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, he is thinking that I came in this world for the benefit of this world. But when that benefit is not being accepted and people are instead making fun, people are instead showing their arrogance towards this help, then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he does not show any of those responses, anger, frustration, revenge, disregard. He becomes more contemplative and he says, what can I do? I have to give this medicine at any cost. And so, the supreme enjoyer, Lord Krishna, became the supreme renouncer. At one place, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is about to go to South India, it is mentioned, the beauty of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is mentioned, Kanchana sadrisha deha arunavasana pulakashru kampa sveda tahate bhushana. Lord Krishna had bhushan, Lord Krishna had ornaments of gold. He had a darkish, bluish complexion. And on top of that, he had these golden ornaments which looked very beautiful. Yellow color shining on bluish colored background of his body. But what about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Kanchana sadrisha deha. His whole body is like gold. And on top of it, Aruna Vasan. Shining saffron garments like the shining sun. Then what are his ornaments? Lord Krishna had ornaments of gold, but Lord Chaitanya himself has golden-like color and his clothes are also golden. So now what ornaments will Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put on his body? Pula Kashru Kampa Sveda Tahate Bhushan. His tears of love, the perspiration on his body when he's dancing in Kirtan and the slight trembling of his body when he's experiencing emotions of love, they are the Bhushan, they are the ornaments of Lord Chaitanya's body. So how amazing it is that when he came to give some medicine, but when that medicine was not accepted by this world, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu contemplated and went to a very unthinkable situation that he renounced everything. But one thing is for sure, as the supreme enjoyer became the supreme renouncer could not renounce his affection for his devotees. He could not renounce his affection for his sons and daughters of this world. And this way or that way, he had to give the medicine of the holy names of the Lord, Nama Sankirtan, to this world. Similarly, Rishabdev, in today's verse, when he's moving around and people are misunderstanding him as a madman, he did not give any of those responses and he's contemplating what to do. If I behave like a madman, I eat, I drink, I pass, I evacuate, I pass urine at the same place because of the seeming dirtiness that is created there. People will go away from me. And when people go away from me, they will not have a chance to insult me. When people stay away at some distance from me because they are thinking, oh, who is this person? He's passing stool and urine and he's staying in the same place and he's eating also there, only dirty person, and they will keep distance from him. And when they keep distance from Rishabhdev, then they will not pass critical remarks about him. And when they don't pass critical remarks about him, they don't have a chance of offending Rishabhdev. The same reason why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas, because in those days, 500 years back, sannyas was highly respected. And people would pass remarks on anybody in society except the sannyasis. Oh, the sannyasi, he is a person who's renounced everything and is surrendered to the Lord. How can I pass critical remarks against the Lord? So if Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit, would accept sannyas and then give the Harinam, then nobody would criticize him. Nobody would go against him. And people would be saved from the offense of passing remarks against the Supreme Lord. That's why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas. And here we see Rishabhdev in the same mood. Is contemplating, what can I do to keep people away from me? And what can I do to prevent people from becoming offensive towards me? The ninth offense against the holy name is to preach the glories of the holy name to those who don't have any faith. Why is this an offense? Because when you start glorifying the holy name in front of the faithless will pass critical remarks and they will say, I don't believe this. How can a simple sound vibration have so much strength? In the Ramayana, there is a story of how there is one rishi, and this rishi goes for a bath. And on his way returning from the bath at some distance, he sees that from his ashram, the king of that local place is exiting and he leaves. So it is at some distance and he cannot come and greet the king. And it all happened in the time when this king was taking a bath, when the rishi was taking a bath. So the rishi comes fast to the ashram, he catches hold of his rishi putra, the son, and says, my dear son, was it the king who had come here? Yes, yes, the king had come here. What was he saying? Well, the king was saying that because I am a king, I am involved in so many politics and I am involved in so much conspiracies and all that. And I am not really sure if I am leading a good life. I think I am leading a sinful life. So can you please tell me if there is some remedy for my sinful life? And the rishi became very eager to hear his son's answer. And so what did you speak? And I told him, the rishi putra says, I told him, very simple. Just chant the names of the Supreme Lord 3 times. The Supreme Lord's names are so powerful, they are so merciful that you will get freed from all your sinful reactions. And as soon as the rishi heard that, the rishi started shouting, oh my Lord, what a great misfortune I have. I have an atheist son. He's shouting loudly. And the rishi putra did not understand. What was that? Atheist. I am an atheist. I glorified the holy name. I glorified the Supreme Lord. How am I an atheist? So he asked his father, 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 please tell me, how am I an atheist? And the rishi putra said, my dear son, you don't have faith in the holy name of the Lord. You said to the king that to destroy all his sinful reactions, he has to chant 3 times. But the power of the holy name is such that even if you chant once, then he can be delivered. So that means you don't have faith in the power of the holy name. And that's why I'm calling you an atheist. So, similarly here, it is mentioned that the ninth offense against the holy name is those who will criticize the holy name and those who don't have faith in the power of the holy name. They'll criticize the holy name, they'll offend the holy name, and in this way they will not receive the benefits of the holy name. And that's why it's an offense. Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, one of our acharyas, at one point of time, he would stay in a public washroom, a public toilet, and it had very dirty stench. And some devotees asked him that, Babaji, why are you staying here? Why are you not staying in the ashram? And he said, when I'm staying in the ashram, then many people come to me and they ask for material benedictions. Please give me riches. Please give me a big home and this and that. And he said, the stench of the material desires, the bad smell of the material desires of so many people who come to me is much more than the bad stench of the substances in the public toilet. And that's why it's easier for me to chant in this public toilet, then I can chant in a good ashram where so many people will come. So he's trying to keep materialistic people away from it. Don't come close to me, keep me away. Similarly, Lord Rishabhdev is saying, don't come close to me, stay away. Don't offend me. Srila Prabhupada, one point of time, he was traveling in a train and some person came to him and he saw that, oh, here is a sadhu. He came to him and he started asking for benedictions. I want this, I want that. And Srila Prabhupada said, if you receive my benediction, you become like them. And sitting close to him were Western disciples, totally surrendered to Srila Prabhupada, offering their lives to Prabhupada. And this Indian gentleman got the shock of his life. And he thought, he did not want to shave off his head. He did not want to travel with his guru, preaching the glories of the holy name. And he immediately stepped back. And he said, oh, thank you, Swamiji. I got my blessings. And he ran away from there. So many times, these exalted saintly personalities, sometimes they talk in a particular way to keep materialistic people at some distance. There is, of course, all of you must be knowing Radhesham Prabhu. Radhesham Prabhu is from Pune. And one time he was speaking a story of, he went to some place and there were some young boys there. And he offered them a book. And boys, they said, no, we don't want these books. And he offered them some prasad. And they said, no, we don't want prasad also. So Radhesham Prabhu understood that they don't want these spiritual books. But why would they also not want any nice prasad? So he asked them, don't you want to become happy? Why don't you take this prasad? And the boys immediately said, we want to become happy, but not like you. We don't want to become happy like you. We want happiness in the definition in which we want happiness. And that is why sometimes Srila Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, and even in today's verse for discussion, Rishabhdev is acting in a very unusual way. That is passing at the same place and trying to keep people. Of course, the description says that the stool and the urine that he was passing was so aromatic. For 10 yojanas, 80 miles around, there was this very beautiful fragrance. So this is how the Supreme Lord is, that when people criticize him, when people go against him, he contemplates, in this situation, how can I help? I cannot go back on my mercy. What about the Vaishnavas? Are the Vaishnavas also like this? Yes, the Vaishnavas are also like this. And we'll discuss a few events that are mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. First, we'll discuss about Lord Shiva. So in the fourth chapter, the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, in the initial part, I think the four or five chapters in the beginning, there is a description of Daksha Yagya. So Daksha is somebody who's expert and he's somebody who has satisfied Lord Vishnu and he's a Prajapati. He has been empowered to increase the populace in the universe. And in one particular sacrifice, he has invited all the demigods. Lord Brahma is also there. Lord Shiva is also there. Without their presence, the yajna is not complete. And when everyone is sitting, some of them are talking, some of them are looking at the opulence of Daksha and so on. Lord Shiva is in his own mind meditating on the Supreme Lord's lotus feet. And at this point, Daksha comes and he's glaring, he's effulgent, he's shining. And the entire assembly gets up because he's not an ordinary person. Only two personalities don't get up. Brahmaji, because he's Daksha's father. And Lord Shiva, because he's meditating on the Lord Vishnu, on the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, and he does not even realize that Daksha has come and everyone has risen from their seats. And what happens to Daksha? His eyes cannot note every single person in that assembly has risen. So let it be, you know, one person does not get up, what big harm? But the nature of pride is, Indra, he's being worshipped by so many cowherd communities on this planet and on other planets throughout the universe. But during Lord Krishna's time, one particular year, when they made all preparations, Lord Krishna went to his father and said, my dear father, why are you making all these arrangements? And when it was told to him that they are to worship Indra, then he said, well, Indra is a department head and he's just doing his duty. Why do we need to worship him and praise him and all that? No need to do all this. And one particular small village called Vrindavan, in so many villages, in Bharatvarsha, in on the earth, in Jambudvip, in the whole universe, for that 1 year, they stopped worshipping Indra. And everyone else is still worshipping Indra. On the whole planet, in the entire universe, everyone is worshipping. Only one small cowherd community in Vrindavan, they stopped worshipping. What happened to Indra? His eyes could not note that the entire world is still worshipping him, except this few people, one community. And how hard did this harsh reality go into his heart? He said, this calls for genocide. This calls for a slaughter. And you know the story of how he wanted the entire village with all the humans, the cows. And Indra is not from outside the Vedic culture that he does not know the importance of cows. He knows the importance of cows. But does not matter. Humans, cows, peacocks, deer, and the parrots, and everyone else, and anyone else has to die. Why? Because in this small community, they did not worship. So the nature of ego is, you do not look at people praising you. You look at people who are not able to praise you. So that's what happened to Daksha. And Daksha is so much infuriated by this one person not getting up from the chair, the seat where Lord Shiva was sitting. He becomes so angry, he insults Lord Shiva. And because he insults Lord Shiva, what is his response? He is keeping quiet. He's not responding. But Nandishwar, the follower of Lord Shiva, he gets up and he starts cursing all the Brahmanas there. And he says, all of you will become fruitive. All you Brahmanas will always become interested in getting benefits from people. And you will never be interested in transcendence. And when this cursing is done by Nandishwar, then there is Bhrigu Rishi there. Bhrigu Rishi gets up and says, because you have cursed the Brahmanas and followers of Vedas, we also curse you that the followers of Lord Shiva will become unclean and will, in essence, they will represent atheism. And we see how in today's times, so many followers of Lord Shiva, in the name of Lord Shiva, who is the greatest Vaishnava, they smoke and they engage in all kinds of intoxication. They are unclean externally, at least in their heart also. They are not ready to really follow the example of Lord Shiva. And so many Brahmanas today are engaged in so much fruitive activities. And what is Lord Shiva's condition? Daksha has cursed, Nandishwar has cursed, Bhrigu Rishi and all the Brahmanas have cursed. And what is Lord Shiva doing? Lord Shiva, he's not replying. He does not speak anything. And seeing all this cursing and counter-cursing, he's very morose. And in his moroseness, he gets up and leaves that place. That's what Lord Shiva does. So Lord Shiva also does not want to speak something, do something in such a way that people will become offensive towards Lord Shiva. Although we would say, you know, Lord Shiva had all right, all adhikar to reply back and say, the obeisances that people offer are not to the body of the person. Actually, the obeisances that we offer are to the Paramatma sitting in the heart. But Daksha was such a foolish person. He thought, because I have satisfied Vishnu, now I don't have to satisfy anybody else. And that's why he was expecting that just like so many people offered him obeisances, Shiva also should offer obeisances to his body. But the essence is, when somebody offers obeisances, offering obeisances to the Paramatma in the heart. So that Paramatma is constantly being meditated upon by Lord Shiva. Some people offer namaskars at some time to the Paramatma, and Lord Shiva is constantly having the Paramatma in his mind. Why does Shiva, Lord Shiva, have to offer obeisances to Daksha? But that is why Daksha became angry. But Lord Shiva did not take that offense. He's just sitting quietly and without speaking a single word, but morose in his heart that how can people be so narrow-minded? He leaves that assembly. And later, the daughter of Daksha, Sati, is telling Lord Shiva, there is this big function at my father's home and I want to go. And I know you will not come because of the situation that happened last time, but allow me to go. I'll meet my sisters there. I'll meet my friends there. And just look at all the demigods and their wives. They're sitting in airplanes and they're going to my father's place and they're looking so beautiful. And I also want to dress up nicely. I want to wear ornaments and this and that. And Lord Shiva says, if you go there, it could be not a very right place to go because your father does not respect me and your father will speak very critical words about me and you love me a lot and you will not be able to tolerate it. So my request to you is don't go. So just see how Lord Shiva himself kept himself away from those who offend him. Lord Chaitanya kept himself away from those who offend him. When he's in Banaras, the first time when he's traveling to Vrindavan, when devotees come and tell him, Tapan Mishra comes and tells him, Chandrasekhar Acharya comes and tells him, there is this sannyasi called Prakashanand Saraswati and he's insulting you. Lord Chaitanya just smiles. Lord Chaitanya does not respond. And he's on his way to Vrindavan. And on the return journey, that whole incident happens with Prakashanand Saraswati. But on the onward journey, Lord Chaitanya does not respond. He keeps himself away from those who are offensive. And in this way, Lord Shiva also keeps himself away from those who are offensive. Of course, we know how Sati disobeyed. And then there was a great catastrophe that happened. This Daksha, because he made that offense against Lord Shiva, who's the most exalted Vaishnava, actually later again something happened. In his next life, in the next Manvantar, Daksha gave birth to 10,000 sons who were called Haryashwas. And they were converted into Brahmacharis, renounced order by Narada Muni. Actually, Daksha wanted them to become householders. And before entering the Grihastha Ashram, he sent them for doing some tapasya. So then Daksha again gave birth to 1,000 sons, the Shavalashwas. And he told them also to do tapasya. And very interestingly, he sent them at the same place. So if he had little intelligence, then he would not have sent them at the same place, but he sent them at the same place. Again, Narada Muni goes there, preaches to them, and makes them into brahmacharis. This time, Daksha cannot contain it, and Daksha calls Narada Muni. And the offense that Daksha had done to Lord Shiva, the small remnant of that offense was still there, even though he begged forgiveness later, but it was not really clean. And he again spoke offensive words to another great Vaishnava, Narada Muni. And he said, because you are somebody who's always preaching to people to not enter the Grihastha life, I curse you that you cannot stay in one place for more than 3 days. Your feet will always have to be moving. Of course, Narada Muni is such an amazing person. Narada Muni took it as a blessing and he said, no, very nice. Now I cannot stay at one place and I'll be traveling all throughout the universe. But just see from Daksha's perspective, who does he think he is? His only business seems to be producing children and cursing exalted Vaishnavas who are constantly chanting the names of Lord Vishnu, who are constantly meditating on the feet of Lord Vishnu. But what about Narada Muni? Did he respond in a very counter-cursing way? Just like Lord Shiva did not speak a single word and he left that place. Recently, I came across a quote by His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj. And Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj said, if at any place they insult you, leave that place silently. So Lord Shiva did exactly that. What about Narada Muni? Narada Muni heard all that. And if you check out that section in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni also did not speak a single word. And Narada Muni in his own heart, he understood this is a blessing. And Narada Muni did not leave that place because Narada Muni understood he has a lot of anger against me. And, you know, if I am here, then that anger will stay inside. So let it come out. And he allowed all that anger to come out. You know, sometimes when there is steam inside a pressure cooker or in some vessel and you don't allow the steam to come out, then it builds up inside and then it is an explosion. So he stayed there and he allowed Daksha to come out with all his curses and all that. And after that, then Daksha is fully silent. And then Daksha cools down. But Narada Muni did not speak a single word. And Narada Muni gave a very wonderful response in the line of Rishabhdev, in the line of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the line of Lord Shiva. Another situation that comes to my mind that is also in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam is Prithu Maharaj's story. Prithu Maharaj has done 99 Ashwamedha sacrifices and now he's in the process of conducting the 100th one. And as he's conducting the 100th one, Indra becomes insecure and he comes and starts stealing the Ashwa, the horse that was meant for the Ashwamedha sacrifice. And repeatedly it happens that he steals a horse and the son of Prithu Maharaj, he goes and he tries to get the horse back, and Indra understands that maybe it will be harmful for me. So he lets go of the horse and disappears. And again the horse comes back. Then again Indra comes in another form. Again he steals the horse. And this keeps on happening many times. At one point of time, the rishis who are there, you know, who are performing the sacrifice, they tell the Prithu Maharaj, if you want, we can pull Indra into this yajna and Indra will be finished. Because he is stealing the horses and he's not allowing you to the Ashwamedha sacrifice. And Prithu Maharaj says, okay. And as they are about to chant the mantra to pull Indra into the sacrificial arena, Brahmaji appears there and he says, stop. And he tells those Brahmanas who are going to chant those mantras, please don't do this, because Indra is one of the chief assistants of Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu accomplishes many things through him. So this is not a good thing to do. And then he turns to Prithu Maharaj and he tells Prithu Maharaj that if something is happening by providence, please don't go against it. And how can you be angry at yourself? It's very amazing. In that shloka, the word that is used is Atmana. How can you have rosha, anger against yourself? And there in the purport, Prabhupada writes that actually Prithu Maharaj is a different person and Indra is a different person. But why does Brahmaji say that how can you have anger for yourself? Because both of them are servants of Lord Vishnu. Indra is also serving Vishnu and Prithu Maharaj is also serving Lord Vishnu. And in that sense, you know, they are non-different from each other. And that's why Brahmaji uses very specific words. How can you be angry against yourself? And please don't be angry on yourself. And he says, my dear Prithu Maharaj, your desire to perform this 100th Ashwamedha sacrifice has resulted in Indra doing so much irreligious activities. If you and me would be there at that situation, we would have pointed our fingers at Indra. Indra, how you can perform all these irreligious activities? How can you go against the yajnas and how can you steal the horse? And we would have put the whole blame on Indra. Very interestingly, Brahmaji puts the whole blame on Prithu Maharaj. And he says, don't you know, Prithu Maharaj, that demigods still have a lot of unfulfilled material desires? And it's very normal that Indra has material desires. And by doing this 100 sacrifice, you have made him insecure. And because you have made him insecure, those material desires have risen in his heart. And now because of your 100 sacrifice, he is doing so many irreligious activities. He is performing these irreligious activities by putting on the clothes of saffron clothes. And in the future, many other people will do this nonsense, that they will put on saffron clothes and they will do nonsense. Probably he is pointing to Ravan in Ramayana. When he wanted to kidnap Mother Sita, he put on saffron clothes. So Brahmaji is pointing right there in that section that in the future, people will put on saffron clothes. And in the name of Indra, they will also do nonsense activities. So he tells Prithu Maharaj, immediately stop this 100th horse sacrifice because it is leading to a lot of problems. And to you and me, who are very logical people, it does not make any sense that, excuse me, who's doing wrong here? Is Prithu Maharaj doing any wrong or is Indra doing any wrong? And the logical brain says Indra is doing wrong, so Indra should be punished. But Brahmaji says, no, you are an incarnation of the Supreme Lord. He's just an assistant of the Supreme Lord. So the ruling potency of the Lord is incarnated in the form of Prithu Maharaj. And that's why, because he's an incarnation of Lord, his whole avatar, his descent is for establishing religious principles. So Brahmaji is saying, forget about Indra, he won't understand. But at least you are an incarnation of the Supreme Lord. So why don't you understand? And he puts the brake. He stops Prithu Maharaj from doing his 100th sacrifice. And he tells him, you will be famous just by your 99 sacrifices. So here is another instance when somebody is trying to do something against Prithu Maharaj. And Prithu Maharaj is being advised by Lord Brahma, you keep quiet. You don't respond by anger. You don't respond by frustration. You don't respond by revenge mentality. You don't respond by total disregard. No, you understand that you are pleasing the Supreme Lord when you don't, when you give a response of not giving a response. See, not giving a response is not automatic. Not giving a response, you have to choose to not give a response. And that's why I said the response of Prithu Maharaj is that he is not wanting to give a response. It's a well thought of response. So the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Antya Khanda, chapter number 3, shloka number 44 mentions, what is dharma? What is karma? And what is sadachar? What is good behavior? Because we are talking about good behavior here. It mentions, tahare se boli dharma karma sadachar. Tahare se boli. We will call that dharma. We will call that karma. And we'll call that as sadachar. What? Tahara se boli dharma karma sadachar. Ishwar se priti janme sammata sabar. Ishwar se priti janme. That dharma that will produce attraction for Krishna. That karma that will produce attraction for Krishna. Tahara se priti janme. Ishwar se priti janme. That is sadachar. That is good behavior. That may or may not be in line with the rules and regulations of the world, but what is real sadachar at its deepest level? Real sadachar is that which induces people to develop their attraction for Krishna. So if Prithu Maharaj would have conducted the 100 sacrifice, Indra is going against sadachar, and by following him, many, many people will perform irreligious activities and will go against sadachar. But by Prithu Maharaj stopping the 100 sacrifice, he is following the orders of Lord Brahma, who is a great devotee. Indra will stop his irreligious activities, and in the future, many others will also stop their irreligious activities because they understand Indra also stopped his irreligious activities. So in this way, Lord Brahma is saying, stopping the 100th Ashwamedha sacrifice is actual real sadachar. So when we read all these descriptions of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when we read these descriptions of Rishabdev, when we read these descriptions of Daksha and Lord Shiva, Daksha and Narad Muni, and then finally Prithu Maharaj, what comes to our mind? As much as possible, we also can pray to the Lord that please give me the strength to respond to criticism, to respond to people insulting me by internally forgiving that person, by internally not taking it to heart, by internally making arrangements to keep myself away from that person, by not giving him an opportunity to repeatedly insult me. And externally, let me do the needful. Maybe I'll have to tell some senior person that such and such person is constantly criticizing me, such and such person is constantly speaking ill about me. And if not checked, then in one sense, I am giving him unspoken encouragement. I am giving him unconscious encouragement, which I don't want to do. I can handle this criticism. I can handle this misbehavior. But if this is giving mute encouragement to that person, maybe that person will do it repeatedly with others. And maybe others may not have the strength to handle all that. So I would like to report this incident that this person is not having good behavior. But internally in our heart, like Lord Shiva, like Narad Muni, we can all pray to the Supreme Lord to develop that kind of a mood. I understand this person is not the culprit. This person's lust is the culprit. This person's anger is the culprit. This person's envy is the culprit. So internally, we can forgive that person. Internally, we can make arrangements to stay away from that person. But externally, we can always do the needful, not to give him unspoken, unconscious encouragement. So these are some points that come to my mind when I'm reading this, that Lord Rishabdev is going to an extreme of passing stool and urine just to discourage people from coming close to him and prevent them from criticizing him and insulting him. And in this way, he's saving people from their offensive mentality. So I'll stop here. If somebody has any comments or any questions or anything like that, please feel free to unmute yourself and speak. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for wonderful class, Prabhu. Very nectarian. You said so many valuable points, Prabhu. If anybody have any questions or realizations, please go ahead and share with everyone.
Yeah, I'll be happy even if any one of you shares some incident like this, maybe from the spiritual master's life, maybe from Prabhupada's life.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Tanvat Pranam. So thanks for the beautiful class, Prabhu. I just have one question. If Lord Rishabhdev's idea was to, actually distract people away from him, then this description that the stool and urine which he smeared upon his body, the fragrance spread to like so many yojanas, and in that case, wouldn't it attract more people? Because, I mean, people would be puzzled, right? I mean, imagine somebody smearing stool and urine and it's spreading fragrance for so, a vast area. So wouldn't that attract more people?
Yes, Mataji, that's a valid doubt. And I see it in one way. I'll just speak that to you. That, you know, many of us will be put off by the sight that somebody, you know, it is mentioned in that shloka that indeed Lord Rishabhdev rolled in that stool and urine. You know, it was all over his body. So I'm just thinking, you know, just the sight of somebody completely smeared all over his body by his own urine, by his own stool is such a very, you know, disturbing sight that people would go away. And about the fragrance, this is something that because he's the Supreme Lord, there is a divinity constitutionally in him. Just by the mere fact that he's the Supreme Lord, he is divine. And the stool and the urine that are fragrant are not something that is happening consciously. It's just that everything about the Supreme Lord is worshipable. You know, the feet of the Supreme Lord are worshipable and the face is also worshipable. So similarly, even something that comes from the body of Lord Rishabhdev, because he's the Supreme Lord, it happens to be constitutionally divine, and that's why it is fragrant. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, we can safely assume that even in the spiritual world, urine and stool is fragrant. So just because it is coming from the divine body of Rishabhdev, it is fragrant. But Lord Rishabhdev, in one sense, intentionally did not want it to be fragrant. It's not that he wants it to be fragrant. It's just that it happens to be his stool and urine. So it is fragrant, but he intentionally wants it, you know, to be smeared all over his body. So it looks dirty. And because it looks dirty, then people stay away from him. You know, it is mentioned in Shloka number 34, 5534, that he did his activities like the cows, the deer, and the crows. So I remember going to a goshala, and we all know constitutionally gobar, the cow dung, is pure. Gobar. Cow dung is antiseptic. But I still remember that when you go to a goshala, the cows drop their dung straight. You know, they don't go to another place and pass, just like the humans do. So the cows are standing, and near their mouth, there is place where food, their fodder, the grass is kept. And on the rear side, they just keep dropping dung. And all that dung is right there at their feet. So, you know, that's how cows are. That they don't understand cleanliness and all that, and they're just dropping the dung there. And if nobody cleans that dung, then all that dung stays there. And sometimes they are standing in that dung, and all of their own dung sticks to their legs. And in one sense, they look dirty. You know, so you and me know that it is antiseptic and it is worshipable. And in a yagya where Lord Vishnu is worshipped, you put cow dung also in that yagya. So in that sense, it's pure, but it looks dirty. You know, nevertheless, it looks dirty that, you know, it's smeared all over the cow's feet and all that. So I feel Rishabhdev wanted it to be looking dirty so that people stay away. But constitutionally, because it is from his divine body, it is pure. He did not want it to be fragrant. About your point that won't it attract people? It has a possibility of attracting people. But it seems it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam just as information. And there is no mention that the fragrance attracted people. And probably when people got attracted by the fragrance, you know, they looked at all the dirty thing, you know, his whole body has his own stool over it. It looks so dirty, probably. you know, they got disgusted by it and they went away. Because the shloka mentions, in this way, Lord Rishabhdev cheated people. So it seems that worked, that all the stool and urine on his body, it actually was successful in keeping people away. That's how I look at it.
Thanks, Prabhu. But I'm still not able to understand if you know, like I personally, if I would see that, you know, I mean, if it was so fragrant and, I mean, so nice, I mean, it's kind of...
it's attractive, yeah.
Yeah,
it's, yeah, but the Bhagavatam does not mention, so I understand your point. Somebody's stool is fragrant is very attractive concept.
Yeah,
thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So should we stop here,
Mataji?
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanavad Pranam, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu, for very nice points in making us understand Rishabhdev's detachment. Prabhuji, one question, like if Rishabhdev, just trying to understand, Prabhu, so if Rishabhdev wanted to keep away from people and say they don't offend, like other great personalities, right, they go to one ashram and practice the mystic yoga or whatever, right, Prabhu? So Rishabhdev could have done that, right, Prabhu? He should have gone to an ashram. And then automatically he's away, right, from people. They don't offend him anything, right? Or is there any other purpose why he was going around and doing this kind of, displaying this kind of his pastimes, Prabhu?
Yeah. So, you know, ahead it mentions that when people stayed away from him, then he went to a place called, he was in the Karnataka. Today we have a state in India called Karnataka. And the Bhagavatam mentions Karnataka. Shukdev Goswami says in the province of Karnataka, there were this province of Konka, Venka, and Kutaka. And later it mentions that Lord Rishabhdev traveled there. And in the Kutaka area, there was a forest fire. And that forest fire burnt the entire forest. And Rishabhdev at that time happened to be in that Kutaka forest fire. And he was also burnt. So it seems that, you know, he had that desire to display the detachment aspect of the Lord. So although, you know, he can rule, but he handed over his kingdom to his eldest son, Bharat. And it is mentioned that even when Bharat Maharaj was ruling the kingdom, when Rishabhdev was staying at the home, at the palace, even within the palace, he was moving around like a madman without any clothes. So not that, you know, he was behaving like that after he left his palace. Even within the palace, it is mentioned that after handing over everything to Bharat Maharaj sitting on the throne. So it seems, you know, his emphasis is more on that everything in this world is very temporary and everything in this world is not to get attracted to. And we should always remember the Supreme Lord in our heart. And that is the sum and substance of his teachings to his sons. You know, his 100 sons are sitting in front of him and he's addressing them. That is the fifth chapter's beginning. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam. Those verses. So it seems that, you know, he has more stress on detachment. So even in his own palace, when he's there, he's not wearing any clothes and he's behaving like a madman. Then he comes out and people misunderstand him. And now, you know, in today's shlokas, it was mentioned that he's behaving in a strange way. And after that, he is just wandering around and he enters that forest and his whole body gets burnt in that forest fire. So probably, you know, he does not want to stay in some ashram and he does not want to give that message of finding something good in this world. He wants to give that message that don't get attracted to anything of this world. And we could say that following his teachings, his eldest son Bharat Maharaj, who took the throne from him, at one point of time also gave up his throne and handed over to his sons and went to the forest. And then we know Bharat Maharaj's story also. So Bharat Maharaj also had his version of detachment and Rishabhdev had his version of detachment. This is what comes to my mind. Naranarayan Rishi, Rishabhdev, they especially display the quality of detachment. So probably, you know, he just wants to stay detached from anyone and everyone. He's just all alone. And people misunderstand him. So then he does all these seemingly strange things to stay away from people. In the ashram also, some people will come to offer him respects. Even if he shifts to an ashram, some people will come and they'll say, oh, you are such a great sadhu, and can I get some benediction from you? Just like we discussed about Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he also wants to stay detached and he's staying in a public toilet then.
Yeah. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you very much, Prabhu, for making us, making me understand that. Yeah. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Dandavat Pranam.
Dandavat Pranam. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, please excuse me if you have answered this already in the session, but should we understand the behavior of Rishabh Maharaj as, like you said, describing or displaying detachment? But what I want to understand is, did that also affect the preaching that he could have done in uplifting the devotees who were interested in their spiritual path or development?
Yeah, different incarnations come for different purpose. You know, I compared also Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he showed in one sense a different response. When people criticized him, he did not run away from there. He accepted austerities in his own life. He had a very wonderful mother, Yashoda, as Shachi Devi, and he has Vishnu Priya Devi. And, you know, he left that home, but he did not take that second part of Rishabhdev, that he just went off into the forest. He took sannyas and again came back to society and tried to preach the holy name. So I guess different incarnations have different purposes, and we'll not be exactly able to compare that Rishabhdev could have used that opportunity to preach. He does not want to preach. He's preaching by his actions. He's preaching by his actions that, you know, unless you see the Supreme Lord in your heart, there is always a chance to get attracted to mystic powers. There is a chance to get attracted to opulence of this world. So he's king of the whole world. But at one point of time, he's saying, no, even if you're king of the world, even if you're so rich, just leave it. So he doesn't want to preach. You know, even amongst devotees, Prabhupada said there are two types of devotees, the Bhajanandis and the Goshtyanandis. The Bhajanandis, they're just interested in chanting, reading and all. They don't preach. Goshtyanandis preach. But both are Vaishnavas. Some people want to preach. Some people are shy. They don't preach. You know, even in ISKCON, I have seen there are devotees who don't talk. They are shy. They are introverts. And they just chant their rounds, do deity worship and like that. So in one sense, you know, they are just satisfied in their own services. So I guess there is a place for them also. So Rishabhdev is saying, I don't want to get into preaching and all that. I just want to display my supreme detachment. Detachment to the highest degree. He's just on his own. He's not even staying in any ashram where some people can come and meet him, contact him and like that.
Okay. And people could get inspired more in that way because he has renunciated all of his kingdom and is living like an avdhut.
Yeah, that is his lesson. Yeah, that is his lesson, that even though he is so rich, he left it. And even while staying in his palace also, not that when he left his palace, he's behaving like a madman. Even in his palace also, he's behaving like a madman. So, you know, he's saying, till the point I was a king, I did everything very nicely. The moment I dropped it, the moment I gave the king's post to my son, the moment I have done it, he's just renounced it. Not that, you know, formally when he does it and he goes into the forest, then he behaves. The moment he gave it to his son Bharat Maharaj, he immediately behaved like he has nothing to do with this world. So probably, you know, that example is also necessary for people of this world who want to stay attached till the last moment. So he's teaching, just look at me. The moment I gave my responsibilities to my son, I just gave up my attachment also.
Well, thank you, Prabhuji. And Prabhuji, how can we understand the distinction between being the behavior of an avdhut and vairagya?
Vairagya, there is another word in Sanskrit called virakti. So vairagya is more of an external thing. You know, you choose an ashram which is in the renounced order and all that. The mood in the Bhagavad Gita is more of virakti. Virakti means it is internal. You know, you do all your duties, but internally, karmaneva, you know, you're just attached to your duties and you're not really attached to the fruits. That is virakti and vairagya. The word avadhut is a very special word. Dhuta means washed. And avadhuta means somebody who has already undergone all washing. He's beyond the washing. So varnashram system is basically for washing the heart. Somebody's in the brahmacharya ashram, somebody's in the grihastha ashram, somebody's in the vanaprastha ashram, somebody's in the sannyas ashram. It's all a question of washing your heart, cleaning your heart. So dhuta. In another place, second canto, chapter number 8, you know, it is mentioned, sarva nirdhuta kalmashaha. You know, a pure devotee, his heart is cleansed. Like that. Shrinvatam swakatha Krishna, punya shravana kirtana, ridyantasthoi abhadrani, vidhunoti surutsatam. 1.2.16, it mentions when we listen to the message of the Lord, vidhunoti, there also the same word is used, that the heart gets cleansed. So avadhut means that person who's been through all the cleansing, you know, he's beyond varnashram. And that's why he does not follow any of the rules of the varnashram, that, you know, without wearing any clothes to move around is not a good thing. In civilized society, you don't move around naked. But Shukdeva Goswami is doing that. And it is not seen as an absence of culture. It is seen that he is a very great personality and he's beyond all the rules and regulations. Similarly, Rishabdev is avadhuta. You know, Lord Nityanand is an avadhuta. So Lord Nityanand also sometimes would behave in a very strange way. You know, he would consider Malini Devi, the wife of Shrivas Pandit, as his mother. And sometimes, you know, he would behave as her child, although his age was very high. His age was quite a lot. But in Navadvip, he would behave with Malini Devi just like his mother. So some of his activities, if you read in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, you know, they are totally avadhut activities. I can tell you one activity. One time when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting with his wife Vishnupriya Devi, Nityanand Prabhu, he just came there and he's just standing there. And he, you know, Lord Chaitanya is saying, why are you here? Do you have anything? He said, no, you always call me an avadhut. So avadhut means I don't know anything, right? I'm a fool, right? So I'm standing here. What is your problem? And one time in the presence of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityanand appeared without any clothes on his body. You know, he just does not have any clothes on his body. He's avadhut. You know, he's just simple childlike. He has no feelings, bodily feelings in his heart. So sometimes he goes to Shachi Devi, and one time Shachi Devi gave him some sweets in his hand. And Nityanand Prabhu, he took those sweets and threw them. And Shachi Devi said, why did you throw them? And he said, no, you gave me 5 sweets. How can I eat 5 sweets at the same time? I can eat 1 sweet at one time. So I was thinking that what can I do with this 5 sweets? So I threw them. Now that response, you know, you and me will feel what kind of strange response is that. But you read Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Khanda, the first chapters, I think the chapter was called The Glories of Lord Nityanand. And it all describes all these seemingly avadhut activities of Lord Nityanand. So, you know, beyond the understanding of common people. But these are personalities who are really very pure-hearted. So sometimes they behave in that fashion. So we spoke about virakti, vairagya and then avadhuta. It's difficult to understand the activities of avadhuta. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you for the detailed response.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhuji. Deepika Keni Mataji, go ahead, please.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes, Mataji.
Yeah, thank you so much for this class. We were missing Radha Gopinath Mandir and you've come and we are hearing you. Thank you so much. Okay, Prabhuji, this is just sharing something from what you said about Prithu Maharaj, how Brahmaji intervened and then you use this word, you know, stopping the sacrifice. So this is just what I felt, that Krishna may not protect your health, or he may not protect your wealth, or, you know, your job or whatever, but definitely he protects your consciousness. As how Brahmaji explained to him that he shouldn't be doing this. So this is the thing which I realized, that he protects our consciousness wherever we are. Other things may not be relevant, but this definitely he will. as how Brahmaji did, you know. Just wanted to share my realization.
Thank you, thank you. Name Vakta Pranashati. He says, my devotee shall never perish. So he's not referring to the body of the devotee. He's referring to the devotee, the spirit soul. He says, my spirit soul's consciousness will be protected. Thank you for that point.
Hare Krishna. I really got so much from this class. Thank you so much. This morning I listened to Srila Prabhupada talking about how King Bharat left at 24 years old. And I'm just wondering how he ruled if he left so young. What time span was he in charge?
Yeah, at this moment, Mataji, it will be difficult for me to tell you the age at which Bharat Maharaj got the kingdom. Okay. I'll have to check that. But it seems then from your description, the facts that you have mentioned, that he received it at an early age.
Yes.
Because if he's leaving at 24.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
So,
thank you so much. Yeah, yes, Prabhu. Thank you so much for coming on the call and giving your association. Vardhana Mataji.
My fortune, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for very enlightening class today. We are very grateful to you, Prabhu, and we look forward for your association again in the future. If nobody have any questions, we'll end the call here, paying obeisances to Prabhuji and all the devotees. Vancha kalpata
vaishnavebhyo namo namah.
Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.
Give praise to Nandadulal Prabhuji ki jai.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you so much.
Jai Hare Krishna Prabhuji Dandavat Pranam.
Prabhuji Dandavat Pranam. Thank you.
Oh, wonderful class, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Wow. Very wonderful. Super wonderful.
Vinita Mataji, can you?